You know, if you asked anyone that's even slightly familiar with the Bible what the shortest verse in the Bible is, they probably could tell you. It's John chapter 11 and in verse 35, where it says, Jesus wept. I was reading an article a while back by Phil Gardner, and he asked an interesting question. He asked, why does John show us a weeping Jesus? It's not the question, why did Jesus wept? But rather, why did John record that fact? Now, John admits that there wasn't enough room in the scriptures to write all the records down of everything that Jesus did. In John chapter 21, John 21 and in verse 25, it says, there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. There were so many things that could have been picked and talked about. John had to take a selection of what he had to work with. So given the limited space, why did God, through John, make sure that we knew this particular fact? Now, in one sense, John doesn't say. He doesn't provide commentary on why God selected this event to be recorded. But there are some clues that we ought to take a look at. Now, on a very basic level, the fact that Jesus wept reinforces our understanding that Jesus was man. He was truly a man. In other words, what we understand is that while Jesus is God, he wasn't a divine being just playing at being human. Take a look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And starting with verse 1, it says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. John and the other apostles didn't have any doubt that Jesus was man. He was here on the earth. He was there physically. And he shared our sorrows. He was the Word of God, but he was made flesh. In John chapter 1, John chapter 1 and in verse, again starting with verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus came in the flesh. In the same chapter, down in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were with his were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So consider the deeper impact The Word who made the universe. That's what John emphasizes. He is the one who made everything that we know about. Stands and weeps at the grave of a friend. John is opening the door crack that we might see a glimpse of the character and the nature of God. God stood at the grave of a man and wept. See, Jesus wept at a time when Mary and others were also weeping. Going back to John chapter 11, look at verse 33. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Isaiah told us that this was going to be a mark of the Savior. In Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53 and in verse 4, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we were ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Jesus bore our griefs. Not just in a figurative sense or a casual sense. He understood what we go through. But I want you to think about how different this was from earlier events. There are earlier events that are kind of vaguely similar, but the response was different. When he met a funeral procession, he told the grieving mother not to weep. Take a look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 12. "Now as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her, and he said to her, 'Do not weep.' And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother." This again was an event where someone had died. But Jesus here says, "Don't weep," and then raises that man from the dead. When the ruler's daughter died, he actually scolded the people for weeping in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 38. "They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, 'Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep.' And they began laughing at him, but putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. And taking the child by the hand, he said to her, 'Tabitha, come,' which is translated means, 'Little girl, I say to you, get up.' And immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded." But this time, with Lazarus, Jesus' reaction is different. The times before, Jesus said, "Don't weep." But this time, Jesus does weep himself. So we need to think about it, ask ourselves, why did Jesus grieve? When Jesus knew that he had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, why was he weeping? In fact, some there and afterwards guessed that it was due to grief. Take a look at John chapter 11. John 11 and verse 36. "So the Jews were saying, 'See how he loved him.'" They understood that one of the reasons for his tears, at least what they've looked at and guessed is, well, it was because he was so closely associated with Lazarus. This was a friend. But others noted that that didn't make sense since he could have prevented the death. Take a look at verse 37. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? That's true. So it doesn't totally explain what's going on. Others have suggested it was just a sympathetic reaction to Mary's grief. Well, again, that's a likely answer, but it doesn't adequately explain all that we see. Let's look at Martha's reaction. Let's go back to John 11, verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Martha knew that Jesus could have prevented Lazarus' death. But she thought that Jesus had to be there to stop it. And though she must have known about the other resurrections, she doesn't consider that possibility for her brother. She talks about the resurrection, but she's talking about the resurrection, the final one, at the end of the world. She's not talking about an immediate resurrection. She knew that God would give Jesus anything he asked. But when told that Lazarus would rise again, she only thought in terms of the judgment day. She saw him as gone for now. When Jesus assures her that he is the resurrection and the life, she merely agrees that, well, he is the Christ. See, Martha knew and had faith, but then she didn't see what Jesus was offering. Or see that it applied to her situation at the moment. She didn't really fully understand what Jesus was saying. Now let's back up a little bit in time to when Jesus first heard about Lazarus' illness. For that we go to John 11 verse 3. So the sister sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to even to death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now notice that. Jesus said, this is not a sickness to death. Now, Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go up to Judea again. Jesus purposely delays when news comes that Lazarus is sick. He waits an extra 2 days. He then tells his disciples directly what he plans to do. In verse 11, after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may waken him out of sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus has spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Jesus knew Lazarus was dead from the moment he died. Even though he wasn't present, he wasn't there. And it was a 4-day journey to get to where he was. And even in plain terms, the disciples, like Martha later, do not understand what Jesus is talking about. He even makes it plainer. And knows that Jesus is glad that Lazarus died, because it created an opportunity to cause greater faith. Lazarus' illness was a chance for God's glory to shine. Lazarus' death was a result, would result in belief. And yet when Jesus stood at Lazarus' grave, he wept. Like Lazarus' death, Jesus stated his own death would lead to the glory of God. And therein lies a hint. So let's jump forward in time to Jesus' own death, one that was rapidly approaching. In John chapter 12, in verse 23, John 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came for this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. See, like Lazarus' death, Jesus' death would produce faith. In fact, there's a connection between Lazarus' death and Jesus' death that John wants us to see. Still notice that facing his death, Jesus was troubled. Jesus knew the outcome of what was going to happen after he died. He knew about his resurrection. He said he would rise in 3 days. But it didn't mean he was looking forward to dying either. Facing his death, Jesus was troubled. Look back at John 11, verse 33. John 11, at verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. The same word. Same term. Jesus was troubled. The word troubled, tarosos, means to be agitated, stirred up, disturbed. In this case, emotionally stirred up and disturbed. That Jesus was deeply moved by the scene is understandable. But knowing that he would raise Lazarus from the death, what was troubling him? But if we connect it to the events in the next chapter, Jesus is again troubled when he speaks about his own death. The descriptions point from Lazarus' death to Jesus' death. There's another connection I would like you to see. Take a look at John 11, verse 34. And it said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Now jump to John 20 and in verse 13. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Isn't it interesting? There's a very subtle foreshadowing between the death of Lazarus, where Jesus says, where have they laid him? And later on, after his death, when the disciples, Martha in particular, is asking, or Mary is asking, where have they laid him? What happened to his body? And the answer actually to both is, come and see. Now recall that when John opened his book, and the disciples first discovered Jesus, in John chapter 1 and verse 45. John 1 and in verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him who Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. There is the core of the gospel message, the good news. Don't just take my word for it. Come and see. See it for yourself. When Thomas was uncertain of whether Jesus was truly alive in John 20 and verse 27, he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach with your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving but believing. See for yourself that is true. It's echoed all the way to the end of the New Testament. John wrote Revelation, Revelation 22. Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take of the water of life without cost come. If you want to know, come and see. See, the apostles wrote to share their insight into the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. See, John showed us what he saw. Remember what we read in 1 John 1? Let's go back there just for a moment. 1 John 1 and verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship in us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. It was written so that we could share what they saw. In John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John shows us the Word that became flesh. He shows us the humanity of Jesus. And we also saw His glory That's his deity. Jesus weeping at the tomb of Lazarus, that actually demonstrates both those themes. In one event, we see both the humanity and the deity of our Lord while he was here on earth. Jesus did not merely cure sorrows. He shared in them. He shared grief with those weeping before Lazarus' tomb, while at the same time looking ahead to his own death and his own time in the grave. The time that he would give to ultimately cure our ultimate need. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This then is what John shows us. He told us why Jesus wept. He wanted us to see who Christ really was. Hope you'll think about these things. We offer not time right now. That if there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf, again, we have that opportunity. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song, those selected.